Got stories to tell, damn it.
Help us keep the shows flowing to your ears. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com, click on the Support Our Work tab, and show us a little bit of love. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio is Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And we're back with Stupid Rules 8. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Our 8th episode of Stupid Rules. We went down
into... We should publish this into a book.
Well, that's right. We're saving all the sheets so we can do something with it. Maybe we'll put it on the wiki. We went down into the Stupid Rules mine again. We put our little headlamps on and helmets and went down there with our pickaxes and
if this was a radio show, we would have a little musical intro to... Down to the mine.
Oh, we don't have. You know what?
Rules.
Hey, people! If you want better production values like that, go to explorationsearlylearning.com. Click on Support Our Work, and support us through Amazon or PayPal, and then maybe we can class up the show with some more sound effects and production
How's
values.
How's this? Classy.
So, stupid rule that we're getting. What are we getting started with, Lisa Murphy?
That feet don't belong on the table.
In flip flops.
No, that. Sorry, folks. That was a visual humor here. I put my feet on the table. I think we're going to start with the big one. Hands are not for touching.
What do you do with them then?
That would almost seem to be exactly the opposite of the truth. Hands seem to be purposely built for
touching.
Touching? No?
Oh, my gosh.
I
hope somebody fell off their treadmill right away. Laughing their ass off right
Bam.
Now. Going, man,
but they
I
can't
thought,
touch. Cause
right.
Of the-
right, my job was bad.
I looked to see if I had any follow-up about the hands are not for touching thing because I said, what? To get some clarification on Facebook on that. So, Lisa Murphy, what are hands made for?
Touching.
So if you're working with young children and you're telling them their hands are not for touching, you're trying to get them to do something that they are physiologically incapable of doing?
Exactly. I want to know where that rule came from.
We will try to sort that out. We might have to come back to that in Stupid Rules 9 and get more clarification on that.
But the best of Stupid Rules.
The top 10
stupid rules. I'm going to put it to a vote.
We've got some of the smartest listeners out there in the podcast world, so we're assuming most of you know that hands are indeed for touching, and that if you're working in a program that says hands aren't for touching,
you
need to think about working for a different program.
Or changing the rule.
Or creating
Asking
a ruckus.
For the science
creating a ruckus
it.
until the rule gets changed.
What I think is funny is that I'm sure this is only applying to the children.
Yeah.
Right? Adults are touching all the time. Touching their coffee mugs, touching their timesheets.
Touching their phones. How do you enforce this?
You chop off their hands. That's what you do. You chop
them
off.
Well, you just about have to. And what would you use?
Your elbow.
No, I mean for chopping off the hands.
The blunt scissors that you're allowed to have.
It would be almost impossible because you get those blunt scissors. And I think you know, when it comes to de-handing a child,
there's now a YouTube video, a DIY.
And now there's all kinds of ways to do that. But one of the things you got to do is you got to get a hot skillet or something on that cut. Real soon to cauterize it so they don't bleed out. I that's really important.
Okay, yes.
And I don't know if we need to go there, but if that's pretty much the only way you're going to keep kids from touching, and they're still going to use their mouths and their toes and like you said,
that's
their elbows.
That's just like saying mouths are not for eating. You know what? Mouths aren't for mouths are not for eating. But you know, this kind of is like that one time there was a school that had a biting issue, and so they were making up all these biting rules and biting, and then they actually, seriously, for 1 second, they actually had kids that stopped eating because teeth. You know, teeth weren't for anything. I don't know.
Teeth aren't for anything.
Well, it was...
They're like appendix.
The way... Right? You don't really need your teeth. We'll just pull them out. But there was some way that they started to redirect biting that ended up, like, kids. Having this unexpected backlash of the kids stopped eating because of what they were being told to do. It was really weird.
And all those kids are 16 now and have eating disorders.
Yeah, they all do. And no hands.
Speaking of biting, we've got one on there about biting.
The utensils one? Three bites. Three bites and you're out.
So
out of the program?
That was my understanding. Yeah. That was pretty much the whole comment. But
they don't have a toddler room anymore.
Yeah, because everybody's, you know, is that you bite three times or you get bit three times?
Probably both. Yeah, what happens if you've been bit two times by every kid?
What if they just use the top set of the teeth or the bottom? Yeah.
Does that count as half a bite?
Half a bite?
We've done a whole video on biting.
That's me banging my head against the microphone.
Against the microphone. We've talked about it before, but biting happens, especially when you create environments conducive to biting by putting all children who are at that same age where biting is kind of a thing into a room together.
Who are pre-verbal.
So we can do a lot to reduce biting if we make an effort. Kicking kids out of the program is probably not the answer, because what that does mostly is it creates more turnover in those classrooms and messes up relationships, and it ends up being a challenge.
Leads into number 30
here.
Yeah,
what do we got next?
They were given plastic utensils for the dress-up center, but the kids aren't allowed to put stuff in their mouth.
So it's all total pretend, that air thing when someone
nom, 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 nom.
You know what a child's going to do with a plastic fork or spoon?
They're going to put it in their mouth.
They're going to put it in their mouth because it's a freaking fork or a spoon. The person that left this comment asked if they were being set up for failure. And yes, they are. And that's sad, but I think that's probably a reality in too many settings as well, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Crazy. This group is only allowed to sing songs from the supplied approved list of songs.
Because the curriculum approved the approved curriculum list of songs, and also they weren't allowed to alter the curriculum
at all
based on child's interests. And that sounds 100% absolutely developmentally appropriate.
No.
Or the exact opposite of that.
Yes, the opposite.
So
if a kid starts chiming in with a different song, do they get reprimanded?
We're not singing that song today.
Janie, no riffing. No improvising. Janie. Poor Janie.
Poor Janie.
What else we got?
Don't mix the Play-Doh.
Why not?
Colors, right?
Right, because you can learn... How do you learn that primaries mix to make secondaries if you're not allowed to mix the colors?
Well, sometimes somebody's going to explain it in circle time at some point.
Well, what if you have just a little bit of blue and a little bit of red, but you want to make a bigger thing and you can't because you'd be mixing the colors?
That's so stupid.
I think we should maybe not only mix the colors, but we should mix the Play-Doh with every other thing that we can think of. Try mixing that Play-Doh with some shaving cream or a box of toothpicks.
But you know what? I spent 30 minutes making that Play-Doh.
Well, maybe you should practice more and get it down to 15
exactly,
then.
Where it's not that big of a deal. That's wasting flour.
I'll buy you some.
So mix the Play-Doh and...
Mix the Play-Doh.
Yes.
Kids, children's books at children's level, but are for teachers' hands only.
And this is in a 2-year-old room. And so talk about setting staff up for failure.
How do you enforce that?
They've put the books that are only for teachers to touch right where 2-year-olds can reach them. So if your staff in that room, you spend 80% of your day, say, no, No, Janie. This is Janie when she was littler.
Poor and Janie. I bet that makes a whole bunch of kids who think reading is awesome.
Yeah, they can't wait to read.
They have an anxiety attack.
But if their hands are off
into a library.
And
their hands are
for dusting.
Books are not for
books are not for reading.
My hands cannot touch.
You know what? I'm going to actually change careers. I'm going to become a freaking therapist because the pipeline of kids who are going to need therapy is huge.
Well, the kids and the staff.
Oh, my God.
And imagine being on the staff in that environment where...
I can't.
At
this point in my career.
Yeah. And 25 years ago?
25 years ago, what I was doing was having a gut feeling that a lot of this wasn't right, but I didn't see anybody around me
making a ruckus,
making any kind of a ruckus, or even grumbling amongst themselves in the bathroom. Like, it was like, shit, am I the only one?
Well, on break or anything?
It must be me.
And, like, and so the first step towards change is grumbling?
Perhaps.
Bathroom grumbling?
Perhaps. Because it might be letting somebody who's new realize that, okay, you're not the only one that kind of thinks some of this might be ridiculous. So at least maybe I have, I don't want to say a colleague in arms, but I might have some support here. And hey, you know what? It kind of sounds like there's a couple of us that think this is ridiculous. Maybe we can go talk to somebody about this.
Hey, maybe we could ask him if we could move those books to the shelf in the break room where, you know, kids aren't.
And then there's reaching the evolutionary point of where you just move the books.
Yeah. Yeah, you just move the books all by your own self.
Without asking for permission.
what else we got?
Why did you fall over?
I'll tell you later.
Was that an inside joke?
Yes.
Hold on. Where's the one that I liked? This one. No potatoes or tomatoes because somebody might eat the 6 cups of leaves that would be required to make the kid
they
get
sick. Grow them.
They couldn't grow
them. Like any preschool garden you've ever seen grows potatoes like well enough.
that there's 6 cups of leaves.
6 cups of leaves.
That'd be a lot of potato plants.
Yeah, because those leaves are potentially toxic, but you got to eat like over 6 cups of them for that to happen.
And you're not having potato salad.
Potato leaf salad. And you know what? They don't taste good. If you've ever tasted one, they're bitter and icky and don't feel good on the tongue. So it's just never going to happen.
Nightshade.
Hey, welcome to Nightshade.
My pupils are so dilated.
Plant the tomatoes, plant the potatoes. They're not going to eat the leaves.
They're not.
It's just not going to happen.
Right. All of the children must be served before the kids are allowed to eat, and then they must stay at the table until everybody is done.
Okay, now, I don't know for sure, but let's just assume that this is the same program that we talked about before, where they have to walk with their hands in the air. So it's time for lunch. You go down the hall to the bathroom. You wash your hands, but your hands up in the air. Somebody puts plastic sandwich bags in your hand to keep them germ free until you get back to the lunchroom. You get to the lunchroom. You sit down with your hands and the bags up. You keep your hands up after you sit down in the chair, and then somebody, a staff, will come by and probably got to be tongs to take those sandwich bags off their hands, and then drops those into the
hazmat. Yes.
Yeah, and then directly into the incinerator, and then they sit there with their hands up
a fire extinguisher
until their food is put in front of them, and then somebody else comes by and puts a knife in one hand and a fork in the other hand.
Are they allowed knives?
Oh no, probably no knife. A fork and
a spork.
One spork and a napkin, and the kids are up there, and then once they've all got their plates in front of them and a spork and a napkin, then they can eat.
Okay, for kicks and giggles, let's just play with it. How long might that be? Realistically.
That takes?
Yeah, from start to finish with their hands in the air.
Oh, 40 minutes.
Okay, so anybody listening right now, I want you to put your hands over your head and leave them there.
Just for the rest of the episode.
Yes. Just for the rest of the episode.
Exactly.
5 minutes. If it's been a while since you've been lifting weights, you're going to be like, oh, shit. That
you're
hurts.
Feeling in the back, you the
feel
shoulders, the abs, yeah.
Maybe that's why they're doing it. They're trying to get the kids in better shape.
This is
maybe it's a physical fitness thing. so that they can grow up and carry a purse like Lisa.
Shut up.
No, that's just insane.
And once again, and we've said this before, we're now expecting stuff of children that we would
wouldn't
never
do for ourselves.
Do for yes. Adults.
Now, is that supposed to be polite, or why would they?
What,
be?
Arms in the air?
No, oh, I mean the waiting till everybody else has been.
That is the polite thing
well,
to do,
and it is the. I mean, I'm not going to push back against
that.
But it's not age appropriate.
It might, depending on the kids, it might not be age appropriate. Yeah. Especially if it's a, and you can even unpack that. If it's a family style toddler serving their own food, you know, even preschoolers serving their own food, that can take a while, right?
That's, oh, yeah.
So, now, lunch boxes, everybody's got their own, which I realize is like a rare thing nowadays. Everybody's got their food in front of them. You open it up. Okay, we're good to go. Let's go. Yep. But, you know.
You know what's happening to their food while they're waiting?
It's getting germs.
Germs. You're getting germs
on
it. Well,
I'm thinking the three bites and you'd be losing kids at lunchtime just like that.
Three bites and
yep,
you're out.
Yep.
I had the three bites of my sandwich. I think that's where it went. Something like, but I'm biting my apple. And so the kids stopped eating.
No, they had to wait so long for the food to get in front of them and all their friends to get the food or their classmates or whatever that they got hungry, so they started chomping on the arm next to
them. Perhaps
they turned. They took so long to get lunch on the table. They turned the candle.
Yes.
Lord of the Flies.
What do you taste like?
This group had 15 evacuation drills for an 8-month program, which averages 2 evacuation drills a month. I'd like. Where were they from? Like a war zone?
It's got to be. I think it was right outside of the Fukushima nuclear reactor.
Well, that would be different.
Okay.
Items in the mouth needed to be sanitized before used again. That's pretty commonplace. But what we liked is that by 8:30, she said there's nothing left in the room.
Yeah, but, you know, kids start getting there at 6:30, and by 8:30, every toy's been in the mouth. They're all in the kitchen waiting in line for their trip through the sanitizer, and the kids are just sitting around there, probably crisscross applesauce with their arms in the air, waiting for the toys to get sanitized again. That's just stupid. What we seem to understand from the herd immunity thing is that being exposed to everybody else's a little bit of their drool and spit and boogers is probably good for building our immune systems. This is why once kids are in a kids new to a program, there might be some sickness, and once they've been in the program for a while, kids kind of they've all been exposed to the same stuff, so they all end up with a similar resilience to those kind of things.
Yes.
So we're at about 18 minutes. What should we do? The bathroom, that number, put that one down. Let me look at that number 7 there. Should we wrap up with that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So if the children are under 19 months, they have to be in sight at all times, which means that they have to bring the kids with them to the bathroom, as in when the adults are going to the bathroom. So that means now she's going to the bathroom with the door open, with the kids watching her, and now she's also acknowledging that requires her to have to interrupt the children who've been engaged in play just so she could go and pee. And then now she's also now having to put the kids in high chairs so that they're somewhat contained when she goes into the kitchen to prep snack and lunch.
Wow.
I would maybe only do that if licensing was there.
Well, yeah, and that's so. One of the comments was added to that is I closed the door, and yeah, licensing with, and then what, the licensor's watching you pee too, and you know, handing you some tissue or
what? If you had to take all the kids to the bathroom with you, would they have to wash their hands?
If they were in the bathroom with you, you know, who knows? Some of the, and this circles back to that, of course, that the somewhere in this place, whatever state or community or district this is, something happened, right? These rules do not manifest on their own. Something happened. So instead of dealing with that from a training / who are we let doing this job angle, we're
just punishing everybody.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, and even with good intentions, a stupid rule is still a stupid rule.
Yeah.
Somebody in a comment to that one posted that she just holds it till break time.
Oh.
And
that's not good for your body.
It's not. Yeah, physically or mentally. I mean, physically,
you'd really have to ration what you drank during the day also. so she might be dehydrated.
Yeah, so, right, so now I'm dehydrated. So now I'm tripping because I'm off balance and dropped the baby when really it's because I'm not intaking the amount of water I need because then I'll have to pee.
Or I've really got to pee and I'm about ready to explode and you're pushing my last button and grr.
Yeah. Right.
So some variation of that. Yes. You know.
That's ridiculous.
If we are going to call ourselves a profession, we should create some rules where adult human beings can use the bathroom to void their bladder and bowels as they see fit. I mean, it would just...
And in private.
And if the room is set up appropriately, right, because that means we have people who are professionals actually doing this job, you can probably err... Ideally, you would be able to err on the side of the 2 seconds that it takes to go in and pee. You're not in there... Well, you should be, right? If you're not in there on Facebook and checking your emails. You know, you go in, you pee, and you wash your hands, and you get out of there.
Yeah, that's what the person that...
So the environment should be safe enough for a two-second run out.
And that's the point this person made. She spent a lot of time and energy creating an environment that was safe and secure for kids, and still she's got to do this stupid thing because it's in the rules.
I would love to ask the parents who might be listening, do you bring your children to the bathroom with you? Right? I mean, at home. What the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, on a regular daily
what
basis,
are the expectations?
Families don't take their babies with them when they go pee.
Yeah. Rowan invites herself every once in a while. And I'm like, Papa wants to be alone.
Yep.
But we're saying, oh, well, they're being, you know, with other people. They need that level of supervision. But, you know, and that's that kind of tricky line between what we would expect from somebody who is being paid to take your children versus what you would be doing if you were just at home with your own kids.
Yeah. Everybody, let's let everybody pee.
Please.
It's one of the simple pleasures in life. Let's enjoy it. We're at 21 minutes. You want to knock one more out before
one
we
more.
Wrap it up?
We'll do this one. This group is not allowed to go on any spontaneous trips. They have to map out
exactly where they're going to go.
What if they map it out exactly where they're going to go and they go on the field trip and there happens to be a detour? Do they have to go back?
You'd have to go back.
If licensing was there, you would have to resubmit a map.
And so that takes care of any spontaneity or any adventures. And I've talked about it before. One of my favorite things to do is adventure walks where the kids change. Kids are in charge of where the outing leads. And that
I wonder if you could put in for like a perpetual note of permission with like the route of your neighborhood.
Just like those family circus cartoons with them just all over the place.
This is our map.
We took one of these paths today.
Or have the kids draw the maps.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Where are we going?
Or what about the recall, right? Let's draw a map of where we went.
Where did we go? Rowan had a big map of Minnesota out the other day, and she was planning a trip to go visit her cuddly teddy bear, Kristen, up in Alexandria. She had Alexandria all highlighted and was trying to figure out how to get there to go see her. So watch for that, Kristen. Hey, people. We've touched on it. So is it ethically, Lisa Murphy, is it okay to ignore some of these stupid rules when nobody's looking?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
should we leave it there? Or should we?
Here is your first bit of pushback is that you need to first make sure if these are real rules, or if they are interpretations of rules, or if they are preferences of somebody, either on staff or otherwise. So that's the first thing that has to happen. And then you're going to make your plan.
So first thing we need is clarity.
You need clarity and definitions.
What page is it on? Whose rule is it?
Whose rule is it? What page is it on? And, you know, let's get some definitions of some of the language that's here. You know, what is the state defining as in sight? You know, what is the state define? And I realize that's kind of obvious, but that's the point I'm making. What spontaneous trip? What's a trip versus a walk versus, you know, and this might sound like you're paying overly close to like the details and the minutia, but it will help you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean by mix the Play-Doh?
Yeah.
Like mix stir it Play-Doh. Or like mix colors? Like
put it next to each other. Yeah.
Don't put it in the mixer.
Let's wrap it up. These stupid rules are starting to make me sad.
You poor thing.
We're going to turn this into a book.
I'm a sad boy. Aww. Hey, you know what doesn't make me sad?
Tell me.
All of our wonderful listeners.
Aww.
We really dig you guys tuning in on the iTunes and on the Facebook and on Stitcher and other podcast delivery systems. And we want to keep hearing from you, and we want you to keep supporting the show and sharing it with a friend. Hey. Get to explorationsearlylearning.com and check out UnCon. We got the next 4 or 5 years mapped out, and we want to see you there because we're having good, fun, adventurous, self-led learning opportunities. The podcat is on the table doing something naughty. Bye. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.